The speaker today to bring us the Word of God, his title is Venerable. Venerable Daniel Wee. Later on, he will clarify whether he's a Christian or not. He is the Archdeacon of the Anglican denomination here in Singapore. He's also the senior pastor of Church of Our Savior. He's a brilliant man. He knows numbers, spreadsheets. He can code. He can speak many different languages. Later on, he'll give us a little lesson in Hebrew. But more than that, he's also a pastor at heart. He has a very, very strong, compassionate, and sincere heart. And the Church of Our Savior Church has grown so much under his leadership and stewardship. So Hope Singapore, will you please help me put your hands together to welcome our speaker for today, Venerable Daniel Wee.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Good morning, church. First of all, I am a Christian, and sometimes people call me Venerable, and they thought that, you know, maybe that sounds like an abbot. But actually, I try not to tell people about that. But I'm so happy to be here again. The last time I was here, I was actually a Malaysian. But today, I'm here as a Singaporean. So somewhere along the line, something changed. And there's a funny story to this before we jump into the stuff. You know, I was in the process of becoming a Singaporean. And I was very busy because it just happened in this month, actually, February. And during one of the services, someone texted me, "Hey, Pastor, before you go to ICA to, you know, take your oath and become Singaporean, you must renounce your Malaysian citizenship first." I said, "I thought after." I said, no, you must do it before." I said, "Oh, okay, I'll go and get it done this week." I said, no, you must make an appointment with the Malaysian High Commission to do this." I said, "Oh, really? Wow, you know, this was during my third service on a Sunday. So I was in the middle of, ending of service. Someone's texting me all these things. And I said, okay, then the person texted me. But now there are no more appointments until April. But my appointment's in early February." So I said, "Oh, no, really?" Immediately after service, I went to my computer and tried to make an appointment. And sure enough, no more appointments until April. And I was like, "Oh Lord, I was so busy doing your work, you know. I didn't see that I have to do this." And then I was just clicking book and book and book. And lo and behold, suddenly click, there's an appointment came up the very next day. Then I text this person and say, "Hey, there's an appointment tomorrow." Say, not possible. "It's all gone already." Okay, I try. I say, "Yes." And it confirmed, sent me an email. I was so happy. The next day, I went to the embassy and they said, "Your name is not on the list." I said, "Really?" Say, "But I have a confirmation." Say, "Oh, really? When did you book?" "Yesterday." "No such thing one. But since you got the email, you go in." And that's how I became a Singaporean. You know? Sometimes when you're busy looking after God's business, God will look after your business. Amen? Now, today, I want to talk to you a little bit about a very, very interesting topic about, you know, something to do with our worship of God. And I just want to jump right into this because, you know, we're going to do a bit of Bible study this morning, if you don't mind. Now, in the Synoptic Gospels, I'm not sure how many of you have heard this word before. This is referring to Mark, Matthew, and Luke, right? So in the Bible, you read the Bible, you read the Gospels, you notice that Mark, Matthew, and Luke has a lot of repeated stories. Whatever you read often in Mark, you can find in Matthew and Luke, right? But John is like somewhere else, you know, he's writing his own stuff, right? He's talking about something completely different. So we call Mark, Matthew, and Luke the Synoptic Gospels, right? And there are reasons for this, but basically they share a lot of common narratives. So in these three Gospels, we find a particular story in which Jesus, being in Jerusalem, was talking to the different teachers, right? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes. He's talking to them, and in the midst of this, a question came up to Jesus. And it's a very important question. One of the teachers came up and they asked Jesus, you know, of all the different laws that you find in the Old Testament, because at that point of time, the New Testament was not written, right? So among all the laws in the Old Testament, and there are very many laws, any of you who have read Leviticus, you know, a lot of people don't read Leviticus because they kind of give up after a few chapters. Because all the laws about burnt offering, about, you know, sacrifices, about cleanliness, and all the laws about social conduct and so on and so forth, they kind of give up after a while, right? But if you did read it, somebody counted there were about 600 over of them, depending on how you account for these laws. So Jesus, of all these things, which one is the most important? And I think this is a very important question for us. I also want to know. And I'm so glad that they asked Jesus. So Jesus, you know, he's probably thinking through, you know, there are many, many laws that you can talk about. Some laws about temple sacrifices, some laws about, you know, how we relate to one another. Which of these laws are the greatest of all commandments. And you all probably know this law, right? What is the law? The law is love the Lord your God, right? And this is actually what you call the Shema. In Hebrew, it is called the Shema because the word Shema means to hear. And it is the first word of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. So I've got a slide somewhere up here. You can see there's some Hebrew up there. And so it sounds like this. The first line sounds like Shema Israel, Yehovah Elohainu, Yehovah Echad. So here, Israel, Yehovah, which is the capital L-O-R-D in your English Bible, is actually in Hebrew the proper name of God, right? Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the what I call the tetragrammaton, the four letters that did, is the word of God. So some people call it Yahweh, some people call it Yehovah. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. That's the first line. And then, of course, the second line is the one that we all know very well. It says, "Ve'after et Yehovah Eloheka, you shall love the Lord or love Yehovah your God." And then you have this whole stretch of things going on here. Bekol levavka. Bekol is in Hebrew in all. Right? Very easy to remember. Bekol in all. Okay. So bekol in all levavka. Levav is your heart, right? Your heart. Ka means yours. Wu bekol Nafsheka, with all your, what is translated as soul. And Bekol, Wu Bekol, Meotka, right? And all your strength. So this is what the Shema is. And Jesus answered, the greatest commandment. By the way, I forgot to mention, the Hebrew is reading from right to left. So some of you are trying to figure out how the left. Okay, sorry, I got used to it, so okay. Okay, so when Jesus answered this question, there were three components about this, right? The heart, the soul, and the strength. And that is how you should love the Lord your God. That is how you should worship God. That's how you should serve God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. And I think as Christians, we should all be quite curious about, you know, what do these things represent? You know, my GP teacher in school used to tell me, the heart is for pumping blood. Right, I think she's kind of right biologically. But obviously, the writers here don't just mean pumping blood, right? It's not just the organ of your body. It's referring to something not so much the biological component of your body or biological organ of your body, but to some idea behind it. So I thought, okay, maybe let's go find out from the Bible, right? I'm maybe you're also curious. What does the Bible say these three things are? So what I did was, you know, I went through the Bible and I looked at what is called the Septuagint. Now, you got to understand, you know, many of us here are Chinese, but some of us are our Chinese, we call CMI. You know what CMI or not? Cannot make it one, right? Syllabus B one, right? Some of us are like this because we have been using English for so long. We cannot. So instead of reading a Chinese Bible, you read an English Bible. This was the same problem with the Hebrews. Many of them have been in the Greek world for so long, they actually can't read Hebrew very well. So in the time of Jesus, they already had a Greek translation and it's called the Septuagint. So I'm very curious because how did they translate these words, right? Levav, Nefesh, and Meot. How did they translate these words? And then I went through all the synoptic gospels and saw how they translate these words, and I found something really interesting, right? So the first column, you can say, you shall love the Lord God, all them agree. And then the next three columns, none of them agree, right? Because the first word, right, your heart, levav, the Greek translated as your mind. And then you look at the rest, they don't agree. Some say soul, some say mind, some say strength, and then the strength, some say mind. So clearly, this word is not as clear-cut as it will appear. Now, let's think about the heart for a while, okay? Levav, your heart. And your lev, right? Your lev is your heart. And this heart is, I guess you could say, a representation of your will, right? Your thinking, your intention, your desire. So when you say you love, you do something with all your heart, it means you do something with all your intention, all your desire, with your authentic self. You're doing it sincerely, without pretense, and without reservation. That kind of, okay, that kind of makes sense. And maybe that might explain why the Greeks translated that as your mind, right? Your mind is what you do things with. The Hebrew thinks you do things with your heart, right? But this is cultural. And then you have this other thing called the nefesh, right? Or the soul, as we sometimes translate it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God created man, the Bible says that God, okay, I got the verse here, right? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. right? The breath of life. This word, the breath of life, is nishmat, which is related to nefesh. So you can say, breathe into him a soul or the breath of life. In fact, this word is sometimes translated as life blood. Because in their mind, you know, when your blood leak out from a person, the person die. So their logic is, the blood is what keeps you alive, right? The thing that makes you alive is blood. Other people say, the thing that keeps you alive is your breath. Okay, conceptually, the nefesh, the soul, is whatever keeps you animated. The strength, when you wake up in the morning, you have a soul. Otherwise, you won't wake up already, right? If somewhere in the middle of the night, your soul departed, you will not be waking up in the morning, right? So when you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, I guess you could say it's to love the Lord your God with all your... Wait, what happened to my chart? The table. The strength, right? You notice in... go back a bit, yeah. You see, some of... in the Luke, it says, with all your strength. That's the strength, your ability, the power, your motivations. That is, I guess, in some sense, your strength. But again, you must realize this is not very clear-cut. Right? Always a lot of overlap in these notions. Now, we come to the third word, which is actually the most interesting word of all. This third word, the me'ot, everyone say me'ot. It's the word that is translated strength. And everyone knows what strength is. However, it is also the most difficult to translate because this word, unlike the first two words, behaves more like an adverb than a noun. Okay, I know you didn't come for English class this morning, but an adverb is a word to describe a verb, describe an action. And so this word is, if you want to use in English, it's the word that's like very, very, right? He is very good. The very is an adverb. It describes how good he is. He's very good, right? So he's a very. Or he's very fast. How do you know how fast he is? Very fast. Meot is like this very. So if you want to literally translate this, it will say, and you shall love Yehovah, your God, with all your very. Now, straight away you find, okay, something's wrong here, right? But love him with very what? Okay, that is really interesting. You know, this morning we sang this song, right? You shall be my exceedingly great reward, right? You know the word exceedingly from Genesis? That's the word meot, right? You look in the Bible, exceedingly great reward, meot. So, what does it mean to love your God with very? Okay, this is very interesting. Let's look at different parts of Genesis and see how they use this word. When God blessed Abraham, God says, I will be your very great reward. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 12, when God blessed Isaac, right? He says he'll bless him with 100-fold. It reads like this. The man began to prosper, meaning Isaac began to prosper, and continued prospering until he became meot. Right? So in this case, meot, the strength, means with all your prosperity, with all your resources. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. And in many places in Deuteronomy and Genesis, meot means to love your God with all your resources, with all your wealth, with all your possessions, right? With all your, if you've got herds, animals, with all your animals, right? But if you don't have, maybe with all your money in your bank, with all your talent, your giftings, everything. So taken together, this verse is really interesting, right? Instead of trying to chop up what means what, I think taken together, it means that you shall love God with everything that you have. Not just your idea. You know, nowadays people like to say, wake up your idea. This one is it's a kind of a very Singaporean thing. It's not just to love God with your idea. It's not to just love God with your breath, right? When you open your mouth and sing, that's your strength. But to love God with everything that you have. All that you have. All of you. 100% of you. And this reminds me of a very interesting incident I encountered when I was in Africa, South Africa. I was there with a pastor friend of mine. He's passed away now. His name is Albert Voon, right? And, you know, the Africans really make you work very hard. You know, one day, I remember I was there 1 week with a friend of mine. We preached 32 times in 1 week, you know. So they don't give up. You tell them, they look like you're not tired, they'll create a new meeting for you, right? So that day was a very busy day. And my pastor friend, he spoke at so many conferences, I think 3 or 4 conferences in 1 day, you know. So he was very tired at the night. He just was going home. And they were sending him home. So the person who was assigned to drive him home, on the way home, had a question to ask him. I said, Pastor Albert, can I ask you a question? Actually, my friend, he mentioned that he doesn't want to answer anymore. He just want to go back and sleep already, right? But no choice, because you're a guest, sometimes you just have to say yes, right? So, okay, you can ask me a question. So this man suddenly became very thoughtful, the driver became very thoughtful. He said, Pastor, my question is this. I don't know whether you have this problem before. He says, when I give my offering, can I take change back out from the offering bag? Okay, I understand. Say, I want to give 20 rand. 20 rand is their currency. But I only have a 50 rand note, Pastor. Can I put in my 50 rand note and take 30 rand out? Okay, what do you think first? This is why now we have this QR code thing. You give exactly. There's no taking back. Right? But you know, back in those days when people used to pass the offering bag around, right? And what happens if you want to put $20 but you only have $50 note? Is it okay? How many of you think it's okay? Some of you say, okay, just take change out, right? How many of you think it's not okay? Okay, I think it's, now I can ask this because now you're no more offering back. So my pastor friend said, you know, I've never been asked this question. In all my theological school, they never taught you whether you can or cannot do this. So he thought about it for a while. He's very tired. He's a bit crabby at that point of time. And he said, no, you cannot do it, right? Because people will misunderstand. They will think that you're taking more money out of the bag than you're putting in. Then this driver, of course, he thought about it and he went quiet. And seems like he was not very satisfied with the answer, right? So he's driving slowly. He's the driver, right? So he want to ask more questions. So he drives slowly. Then he says, you know, but I'm a good man. I don't want to steal. I just want to give God my 20 rand. Why can't I just take 30 rand out? So he says, cannot. If you want, you go to the grocery or go to the shop beforehand, you exchange the money, you give God exactly the amount, you don't come and change the middle, right? So you plan beforehand. Okay, the guy is quiet again, and you know, my friend Albert thinking that now he can rest. But you know, this guy is very theological. He said, what if God told me during the service to give? So I got no chance to go before the service, right? God told me to give, then how? At this point, my friend was kind of losing his cool already. So he got very upset. And the reason he got very upset is he says, you know, first of all, you invoke God's name. He get very upset with that. But he says, every time God tells him to give, God never tell him to give 20 rand. God always tell him to give everything, right? He said, every time I go to these charismatic church meetings, very dangerous. The pastor like to say, now offering time, I want you to put your hand in your pocket and ask God how much you want to give. He said he doesn't like to do this because every time he asks God how much you want to give, God always say everything. And every time he leave church, he got no money, right? Because he gave everything, right? So he says, this guy, how can God ask you to give 20 rand? Because God always asks him to give everything. And I think, you know, has a point. Very interesting guy, you know, my friend this. God wants us to give our me'ot. So the very is your everything. Of course, this is not an easy thing to do, to give God everything. Pastor, how? And why? And really, I want to look at this very interesting story in Genesis to help us understand what is it that God wants us to give and how God wants us to give, right? So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, we have this very curious incident. Some of you, maybe you have read it before. As you know, Adam and Eve, they had two children, right? So I'm going to just read the passage here. Now, Adam knew Eve, this is in a carnal way, right? His wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. So Abel is the younger brother. The older brother is Cain, right? So Cain and Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Okay, interesting. Not just the flock, but and of their fat. And, you know, I always thought about this a little bit. You know, this is a very interesting. Because when you came this morning, do you bring your fat to the church together? Yeah, of course, we come together with you, right? So today, I just go home, I leave my fat at home. One, right? So why must I say, today I came to church along with my fat? You wouldn't normally say that. So this is a You know, you think about it, this is a very unusual statement. Some of you never read Bible, right? But you read, now they mention it. Why must he say they are fat, right? Did he bring his hair along also? He didn't mention that, right? So I'll suggest to you there's a reason for this statement. We'll come to it later. And the Lord respect, now this is the New King James Version. The Lord respected Abel and his offering. And he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So, very interesting. I'm not sure how many of you actually thought about this and found this to be a very, you know, it's an awkward passage. Things were happening. How come God is so unfair, you know? So, I mean, personally, I don't like vegetables. So, I totally like this passage, you know. Bakwa, yes, you know. But don't give me vegetables, right? So Adam and Eve got these two sons, right? These two sons, Cain and Abel, they were both farmers. One of them was a crop farmer. So one of them is a livestock farmer. One of them is a crop farmer. So a tiller of the ground is a crop farmer, someone who grows, you know, grapes, maybe wheat, and you know, different kind of, you know, I guess the crop of the ground, right? So he grows things and he produces things, vegetables from the ground. Now, Abel, on the other hand, was a livestock farmer. So he kept animals, right? He kept sheep and goat, oxen and different kinds of animals. Now, as time went by, each of them brought a sacrifice to the Lord. They brought an offering to the Lord. They brought something to give to the Lord. And Cain, being a vegetable farmer, brought whatever first fruits of his harvest to the Lord, right? So if you grow durian trees, then you bring a durian to the Lord, okay? Well, whatever it is that you grow. And Abel, on the other hand, brought the firstborn of the animals and the fat. Okay, this is a very puzzling thing. And then in verse 4 and 5, we are told that God respect. Do you know why did God respect one and the other? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did God prefer one over the other? Other than the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that God might be not a vegetarian, right? So why did God... Now, if you look in the other Bible, some of you may be reading the NIV Bible, you might find that it uses different words. Some Bible use regarded. Other Bible use respected, regarded. But the Hebrew word is actually something like the word look at, right? And as God looked at one and God did not look at the other. Now, God received both offering because they are given to God. But this particular one, God look at, and this reminds me of a song that was quite popular some time ago. You know, I'm not sure how many of you heard this song before, but quite a while ago, there was this song that I heard. Maybe you can play a short snippet of it, see how many of you know this song. It's by this girl called Meghan Trainor. How many of you heard this song before? Yeah, I see quite a lot of nodding heads. The older people, you don't know this song, don't worry. It's a... Okay. Okay, this song is called I Made You Look, right? So how many of you heard this song before? All you need to repent. Okay, so... But this song is called I Made You Look. And you know, the premise of the thing is that this girl, she managed to dress in such a way, she looks so good that she somehow managed to make her boyfriend look, or, you know, make someone pay attention to her, right? She got the attention of someone. So when I look at this word respected or regarded, or in the Hebrew, the word look, it's not so much whether God respected or don't respect in our common sense of the word, but God, he got the attention of the Lord, right? So you could say that when Cain brought his offering, okay, God received the offering, but when Abel brought his offering, his flock and the fat, he received God's attention. Now, sometimes there are things people give in our lives that don't get our attention, right? Over Christmas, many of you will get a lot of things from your friends, right? And some of the things are generic gifts, like Ferrero Rocher chocolate, right? Everyone always receives so many. I suspect a lot of it get passed around, right? Someone give to you Ferrero Rocher, okay, a nice pack, you know, just give to someone else. So maybe the same chocolate go make it around for quite a few people, right? Because it's a generic gift, you don't pay a lot of attention to it, right? But every now and then, you will get some gift that really get your attention. You know, about 2 years ago, during Chinese New Year, someone gave me a box of bak kwa. Except that this bak kwa is not normal bak kwa, okay? This bak kwa is not your Mei Zhen Xiang bak kwa. It's not your Lim Chi Guan bak kwa. Even Lim Chi Guan had queued up for a long time. This came in a nice wooden box. And it's called Empire Bak Kwa. I thought, what Empire Bak Kwa? Never seen before. I was curious. And then I opened up, wow, the box is very beautiful. There's a word that says, only by invitation only. It means you can't even buy it. You must be invited to buy it. So I was super curious now. I read the card, it says, roasted in apple wood. So don't know what apple wood. To me, Bak Kwa is Bak Kwa. Then I went to Google, and I found out that one box of Bak Kwa is $800. I don't know whether to eat or not, right? Because one bite only 15 bucks already. What happened if I don't like it, you know? But that really got my attention, right? Now, so when I think about this, I can imagine that the offering of Abel somehow managed to get God's attention. And I ask myself, why? Why did one get God's attention? But God received both, okay? Both offering God received. God did not reject either offering. But one of them really got God's attention. It made God look. And I was trying to figure out what could the meaning. And I think to understand this, you sort of have to understand some of the Levitical laws offering. You look in the book of Leviticus, you find that there are actually five kinds of offering, right? Five kinds of offering. There are burnt offering, there's a grain offering, there's peace offering or wave offering. Sometimes you read this in the Bible. There's also sin offering and there's guilt and trespass offering, right? I'm looking at the clock, 17 minutes more. So the last three, right? The last three, the peace offering, peace offering is for fellowship, for peacemaking. Sin offering is when, you have a ritually unpure, you need to purify yourself. You can read all this in Leviticus. Did I put the verses down? So please read Leviticus. Guilt and trespass offering is to compensation, right? Your payback when you have, you cause some grievance to some people, you make reparations for your sin. Now, these three are quite interesting. But the first two are of interest to us. The burnt offering is usually what you call a whole burnt offering. It means you put the thing, and very often they specifically will say, and the fat, right? And the fat there is often mentioned because including the fat, it is burnt. So I suspect when the word I saw and the fat, that's what got my attention. When I saw and the fat, I realized that it is very possible that what Abel was bringing was not just a normal animal offering. It was a hint that this is a whole burnt offering. And when the burnt offering is done, nothing is left of it. Nothing is left of it. There's nothing left, only ashes, right? So nothing left. Now, the second offering is a grain offering. Grain offering is what you call a proportional offering. When God gives you a harvest, you take a proportion of the harvest, you give it back to God, right? If you got no harvest, then there's no grain offering because there's no harvest. So a grain offering is a little bit different from a whole offering. Right, so you can imagine, if let's say you have a durian tree in your backyard, and wow, this year, wow, Mao San Wang got 10 durian trees, and you say, God, I want to give you a tithe, right? So I give you one durian. Okay, maybe I'm more generous. I bring two durian, right? So you bring to church that day, you give to Pastor Jeff, Pastor Jeff, and Pastor Claudia, here's one durian. Well, I want to give to the Lord, right? And then you go back, your durian tree, you have 8 more durian to share with your family, right? That's a grain offering. What if you want to give a whole offering? Then what would you do? Now someone would say, how many durian will you give? 10. 10, right? Plus the tree. So imagine you bring the tree and the durian. Okay, this is a whole burnt offering, right? This is it. When you go back, there's no more durian tree already. Right? Whereas the grain offering is different. You go back next year, the same tree will produce harvest. It's still yours. You follow? So the grain offering and the burnt offering is qualitatively different. And I think what surprised God was this Abel's offering was whole. He gave everything. When he goes back, there's no more sheep to give birth to other sheep because that one has been given. That was the whole offering. And I think this is the gold standard. This is the thing that gives attention. Some of you say, wow, Pastor, God very greedy. Why does God want everything? Friends, I want you to know that this is the standard because when God gave to us, He gave His only begotten Son as a whole burnt offering to us. Right? He didn't send a message to us about how much He loved us. He didn't send a text. He didn't send an angel. He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And that is the standard of God's love. When God loved us, He loved us wholeheartedly. And that is the reason why when He wants us to love Him, He wants us to love Him with everything that we have, holding nothing back. So when the question is, should we give a tenth? You know what? Giving a tenth is good. Giving a tithe is good, right? And some of us maybe love God more, give 11%, 12% is good. But actually, what really God wants is 100%. Your whole heart. Amen? Okay, how many following me, right? Now, some of you might be saying, Pastor, what if I'm a poor person, right? I don't have a lot to give to the Lord. And so I'm not able to give God a lot of things. I love God, but I'm not able to give God a lot of things. You know, there's actually a story about this in the New Testament as well. And I want to kind of refer to this. It's in Mark chapter 12. Actually, you can find this in several places in the New Testament. But Mark chapter 12, right? There was a particular lady who came to the temple. Now, in the temple, different people were always bringing offering to the Lord, right? And very often, the offering came in the form of money. Because money is a representation, right? Because last time, you know, people might bring their fruits, but these days, you know, people bring money. Because money represents your labor, it represents everything, your time, it represents. So money is brought to the temple. And in the temple, they will sometimes have this very big, bronze container. And when people drop their coin inside, you can hear, tang, right? And of course, when rich people come, they will bring a lot of coins. Right? And then when they put the money in, it's quite attention-grabbing. Because you remember, everyone, you know, I mean, you go to the casino, I'm sure you don't go to the casino, but you know, imagine when you hit a jackpot, everyone will hear the sound and, well, what's going on there? How come so long the sound, right? This is a little bit like that. When a rich person comes, everyone stop whatever they're doing. Wow, some rich man lie down, you know, right? Still going, wow, he's giving a lot, right? So you can hear the sound, and that's kind of what happens. But that particular day, something made Jesus look. Right? I mean, Jesus was teaching in the temple all the time. Lots of people were giving. Jesus didn't comment anything. But something made Jesus stop and look. Right? It's that Meghan Trainor song gone, I made you look. So this lady came, and what did she do to make Jesus look? So she took out what the Bible says is two mites. Actually, I have two mites here. You know, when I went to Israel, this is very common in Israel, but I didn't steal this. Because coins are very common, mites are very common, right? And this is roughly what a mite looks like. It's very small, very, very light. Okay, this one is a slightly thicker mite. So because the real mite is in my church, they frame it on a wall, I couldn't take it out. So I brought a slightly different one. So you can imagine, now you got this big bronze thing. This lady's got two of these things. And she drops it in, you can't even hear a sound. Because, well, it's just so light. You can barely get anybody's attention. You follow what I'm saying, right? You tang, 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 tang. Then this one, do you put anything in? Yeah, I did. Just my two mites. But these two mites managed to get Jesus' attention. And that's why we are hearing about this in story. And this is what the Bible says. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So the two mites is not even a full coin, right? It's sort of like half a coin. So Jesus, he called his disciples to himself and said to them, right? Clearly, this action got Jesus' attention. He said, assuredly, I say to you that this widow has put in more, if you like. Of course, we have it in the Greek, but I think it's meon, right? He put in very. She put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, their grain offering. They gave in as a proportion of what they received from God. They gave in 10%. God gave them 100%. They took out 10%. They gave back to God. But this lady, she out of her poverty put in all. Everyone say all. All that she had. Her whole livelihood. So the rich people, they gave, nothing wrong with them, right? I'm not blaming them. I'm not saying anything wrong about them. They gave, but they gave a grain offering. But this lady gave a whole burnt offering. All that she had. Her whole livelihood. And that is the reason why it got God's attention. Now today, there may be some people here who say, Pastor, I don't have a lot to give. Friends, it's not the quantity of the giving. It's the quality of your giving. It is what your giving represents. Does your giving represent giving God a portion of what God has given you? Or does your giving represent all of yourself? You know, actually, there's another song, you know. last time, very popular song, All of Me. What's the guy's name? Somebody, okay? All the backsliders would know, okay? So, you know, you give God all of you and not just part of you. Not just the leftover, not just the convenient part of you. And I think that is how we should give to God. Without reservation. Without holding back. That's why in Romans chapter 12, you know, Paul says we should give your bodies as a living sacrifice. All of it with the fan, obviously, right? Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Of course, later on, you know, Jesus kind of supplemented this with another bit from Leviticus 19, talking about how you should also love your neighbor in the same way, right? So you love God with all of yourself. You also should love God, love your neighbor in the same kind of way. So really today, as we come to, you know, as we draw to a close, this whole discussion about how we should give to God, right? How should we give to God? I want to just submit to you that every time you come to church, right? Every time you come before the Lord, we are coming to God with an offering. We are bringing, in fact, the Bible has a verse that says that, you know, basically we should not come to God empty-handed. Should always come. But the question is this. Today, when you came to church today, what kind of offering did you bring to the Lord? Right? Because very often we come to church only to witness, to see what God has to offer us. Many of us come to church, God, I want to receive something from you today, right? I want to receive your blessing today. I want to receive your revelation today. Okay, fine. That's all very good. But as part of our worship, the way we love God is to love God with our meon, our everything. This is what Jesus says. More important than everything else is to bring this to the Lord. So the question, of course, to you and me is, well, today, when we came to, what are we bringing to the Lord, right? And that is everything. You bring your intention. You bring your heart, right? You bring your will. Nobody is forcing you. You're not in church thinking that, I wish I didn't have to come to church, lah. You know, this morning I was very tired. I wish I could. No, you came with, I want to come to church today. It's my will to come to church. This is what I want to give to the Lord, right? Then you're also saying, you know what? I want to praise the Lord with the breath, the soul that's in me, right? The breath that's in me, with my energy. Some of you worship the Lord with your giftings, with your talents. Some of you worship the Lord with your time. You know, I came here quite early this morning, right? And I think I came around 8 something, right? And already there are many of you came even earlier than me. You gave your time to the Lord. You could be sleeping at home for an extra half an hour. You gave that to the Lord. But on top of that, you also love the Lord your God with all your mayot, with all your strength. Your money that you give to the Lord. But not just the money. Because this morning we learned that there are different ways of giving. You could give a grain offering, and that is very good. But every now and then, you want to give God something that makes God look. I don't know about you. I want to give God something that makes God stop in his tracks and, wow, okay, look at that guy. Wait, right? Look at this guy. He just gave everything. It may not be very much in the eyes of people, but it is your everything. I also know that there's some of us here who might be feeling, Pastor, my life is not all together, you know. I still fall and stumble quite a lot. I'm sinning quite a lot. I don't know if what I give will get God's attention. Listen, friend, even the 2 mites of the widow got God's attention because it was her all. She wasn't perfect, she wasn't rich, but she gave her all. God likes it when we give our all. Amen. And today, I want to ask you, you know, are you bringing your all to the Lord? Are you bringing your all to the Lord? Right? So we're going to kind of wrap this up. You know, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, we have this story about, you know, the spies that went into the promised land. And then afterwards, 10 of the spies were somewhat reluctant because they look at it, you know, the way the pros and cons. And they thought to themselves, wow, this is a losing proposition. Although the land is very good, right? It's very, very good. But, you know, there's quite a lot of risk involved because of the giants in the land. And so, you know, let's not do it. But of course, you know that there are 2 people who said yes, right? And these were Joshua and Caleb. Caleb, by the way, means in Hebrew means dog. So Joshua and the dog, right? And they said, yes, we'll do this, right? Now, afterwards, in Numbers chapter 14, God makes a comment about Caleb. He says, But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and he has followed me fully, wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. You know, I cannot confirm this idea with you, but I think those people who give God their all, God is like more inclined to give his all to them also, right? Because Caleb gave his all to the Lord wholeheartedly. Not only did he give of his life, his energy, his time, he obeyed the Lord. So obedience is your way of loving the Lord, right? We obey the Lord fully, not just partially. God says, I will bring this guy into the land. The rest of them, they didn't make it, right? But Caleb, he made it. I'm going to bring him in. I'm going to bless him. He gave me his all. I am going to wholeheartedly give my all to him. You know, I think sometimes our relationship with God is it's a little bit like that. God loves all of us, but some of us really got God's attention. And God says, wow, look at this guy. Look at this guy. You know, would you just look at him? You know what? I'm going to do something for this chap, right? And so today, as you think about, well, how are you worshiping God? How are you loving God? We sang the song, right? Come and be my exceedingly great reward. And yet, the Bible says, we should also love God exceedingly with all our might. So we're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask maybe all of us to stand. We have a closing song. And we're going to sing the song. And afterwards, you know, I'm going to just ask you to think about your decision, right?
This is my soul to you, a melody of thanks for you, an expression of wonder. Your beauty and splendor, no other cry have I. To know you more and live too high, God of infinite glory, above all you are worthy. And what can I bring to you? Simply a song of kingdom and bless me with your
this song, I'm reminded of a song that we always sing, you know, You're Worthy of It All. It's a very popular song. Sometimes I wonder, is he really worthy of it all? Or maybe he's just worthy of the song, right? So today, even as we come before the Lord in this sort of like moment of response, I want you to, each one of you, to think, are you willing to bring that whole burnt offering to the Lord? Are you willing to bring the flock and the fat, you know, if you like? Are you willing to love the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength? And this is a very practical thing, right? It's not an emotional thing. It's a practical decision about how we give to the Lord in concrete ways. It's not the quantity, it's the quality of what we're giving. And if this is you, right, all across this place, and some of you are at the different centers, if this is you and say, God, I want to give my all. I don't always have the strength to give a lot, but I want to give my all. If this is you, wherever you are, just put up your hands wherever you are, right? Not just to me, just saying to the Lord, I want to give my all. Help me. Help me to give concretely, right? This year, this month, let me give to you, Lord. Let's make this a way of life. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. I want to ask another group of people, and perhaps you're here for the very first time, you're not a Christian. If you always wondered, you know, why do we have to love God like this, right? With all of our hearts. Friends, I want you to know that 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was whipped. He wore a crown of thorns. He was nailed to the cross because He was giving His all to you. He was becoming the great sacrifice for you. God withheld nothing from you. And today, if you are new to all this, but you say, Pastor, I want to receive this gift from Jesus. I want to receive this gift from God. If that's you, all right, if that's you, without anyone looking around this place, would you put your hands up wherever you are? If that's you, never asked Jesus in your life before, but today is the time to say, Lord, I want to receive God's all for me. Would you put up your hands wherever you are? And I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone like this? All right, just put your hands up. No one looking around. Okay, maybe over at the centers as well. If that's you, perhaps today is your day for receiving it. I'd like to pray for you. Lord, we thank you for all the people who have lifted up their hands today.
Thank you, Lord.
Some of them here today are saying, Lord, help us to be like that widow, who though she didn't have a lot to give, she gave enough to make you look, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for all those across this auditorium and in all the different extension centers, Lord, you help each one of us to find ways of giving that will make you look.
Thank you, Lord.
Even those of us who are broken today, who might be in very difficult and dire situations in life today, Lord, none of us are in a place where we cannot give our hearts to you.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, would you receive our offering? May it bring a smile to your face. Lord, I also pray for those of us who may be at a point of decision, deciding whether or not this is really for me. But Lord, I pray today, you just let them experience the great generosity of God, grace and mercy and the love of God that will invite them into this relationship with a God who gives them your all. So thank you. We commit them to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.